Once again, it's good to be here in the best day of the week, the Lord's Day. We're thankful that God has allowed us to be in His house. We'd like this morning to turn to the book of Mark, chapter 5. Book of Mark, chapter 5. We've seen thus far Jesus standing in the midst. We've seen Jesus saying to each one of us, "Bring it to me." Last night we saw the difference that Jesus can make in our everyday lives. Today we'd like to read verses 21 through verse 34. Of Mark chapter 5. "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about him in the press, and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague." By way of background, Mark chapter 4 opens with Jesus teaching by the seaside, and at that time he taught the parable of the sower, parable of the candle, parable of the mustard seed. When the evening was come, Jesus and the apostles got into a boat, went to the other side of the sea. In so doing, they experienced a storm. Jesus, of course, would calm that storm by merely speaking. We see that in John 4, verses 35 through verse 41. They then came into the country of the Gadarenes, where Jesus graciously delivered the demon-possessed man of Gadara. We read that in the first 20 verses of Mark chapter 5. Following that, we read in verse 21 of our text, "When Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him." Out of this multitude of people that had gathered was a man by the name of Jairus. And he came pleading with Jesus on behalf of his daughter, who not only was sick, but she was so sick that she was dying. We see that in verse 22 and verse 23. So Jesus and this great multitude of people began to make their way to the house of Jairus to heal his daughter. And we read in verse 24, "And Jesus went with him, that is Jairus, and much people followed him and thronged him, or crowded and swarmed him. And as this mob of people and Jesus were proceeding to the house of Jairus, and no doubt news had spread that Jesus was going to the house of Jairus, and Jesus was going to perform a miracle of healing upon the daughter of this man. No doubt as news spread, the crowd rapidly grew. The crowd just got bigger and bigger and bigger. So we get the picture of a very large crowd of people. They're all around Jesus Christ. And I picture a very narrow street as they're thronging upon Christ, pressing upon Him. We then read in verse 25, "And a certain woman, the procession that was headed to the house of Jairus would be interrupted by a woman who, like Jairus, was desperate for a miracle in her life. And though we do not know her name, her story stands forever as a testimony of faith, as a testimony of perseverance in the face of many obstacles. Her faith and her story has inspired many of God's people. Her story has encouraged many of God's people to keep pressing on. Keep pressing on for whatever it is that you need in Jesus Christ. We want to view this woman this morning as a picture of many of God's people. But first of all, picture this crowd of people headed in the direction of the house of Jairus. This is a crowd of curiosity seekers. And they are swarming around Christ. But this woman that we read of was not just part of the crowd. She was in that crowd, but she was not just a part of that crowd. This woman would experience Jesus Christ. This woman would experience the miraculous power of Jesus Christ. This woman would experience the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. Again, as this multitude of people is walking along, I imagine the crowd continued to grow as they walked. And without a doubt, there were many, many needy people in that crowd. But the majority that were there that day were just a part of the crowd. That's all they were. They were just a part of the crowd. But not this woman. She was not just part of the crowd. By the side of Jesus, I imagine, were the apostles. No doubt there was Jairus. They too were not just part of the crowd. They received a blessing that day. But there were others who were close enough to Christ to touch Him. But they received no benefit because they were just part of the crowd. They were just a part of the crowd. They were in that crowd. There were people from a variety of backgrounds. There were people of all ages. They were bumping into Jesus. They were rubbing shoulders with Jesus Christ. Yet they received no real benefit. They went home that day unchanged, without really experiencing Jesus Christ. Most of the people that were following Jesus that day were just part of the crowd. That's all they were. Just part of the crowd. But this woman, she was blessed. This woman was changed. Most in that crowd were just curiosity seekers. They just wanted to be a witness of a miracle. They just wanted to be a witness of what was happening. But really, they were not part of it at all, because they did not receive from Christ. But this woman received something from Christ that changed her life. And we want to speak this morning on the subject of not just part of the crowd. Not just part of the crowd. Every time this church assembles, you have a multitude of people. Sad to say, there are some. Every time you assemble, there are some who are just part of the crowd. You may expect them to be here when you assemble. But the truth is, there are some Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, they go home unchanged. They come back again. Again, they go home unchanged. They're just part of the crowd. But oh, what a difference. When you're not just part of the crowd, but you actually experience Jesus Christ. You want to consider, first of all, the condition of this woman, because her condition is emblematic of many people today, certainly emblematic of the lost, and it is also emblematic of many of God's people. First of all, this woman had a very real and a very, very serious need. Everyone in that crowd, just as everyone here today, all of us, we have needs. We have real needs. We have very, very serious needs. And everyone in that crowd had real needs. And everyone in that crowd had very, very serious needs. But the difference was, this woman had a realization of her need. And this woman felt her need. Notice verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue or a flow of blood, 12 years. She had a flow of blood, which seems to be a gynecological flow of blood. And this would have, according to Leviticus 15 and 25, would have made her unclean. Being unclean, she was an outcast. She was an outcast to her family. She was an outcast to her friends. She was even an outcast to the place of worship. This woman was ostracized from everyone. She had this flow of blood for 12 years. Now notice in verse 29, Mark refers to this as a plague. She was healed of that plague. So this woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, and this was a plague. That is, it was an infestation. It was tormenting. It was something that would ravage her body. Her need was great. Her need was real. Her need was serious. Her need was desperate. For 12 years, there she was. suffering. And sitting here right now are people with very real and serious spiritual needs. That is true every time we assemble. But again, sad to say, like many in that, like the majority of that multitude, some will leave here unfazed. They have been in the presence of Christ. And when you assemble, you are in the presence of Christ. And yet some will leave unfazed. What a shame. Just part of the crowd. So this woman had a very serious need. We also see that her condition was continuous. We see there that she was a woman having an issue of blood for 12 years. For 12 years she suffered. Now 12 years when you're suffering is a long time. For 12 years she was in anguish. For 12 years this woman lived in distress. For 12 years she lived a life of misery. For 12 years she lived a life of heartache and desolation. For 12 years she lived the life of an outcast. For 12 years she was vexed. For 12 years she was tormented physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And I imagine that she spent many a day in her place of separation, weeping, sad, and lonely. And again, there are those sitting here right now. They come into the presence of God just like this multitude. And they leave unfazed, unchanged. Just part of the crowd. Just part of the crowd. This woman had tried everything. And nothing helped. We read in verse 26 that she had suffered many things of many physicians. That is, her condition was only aggravated by the physicians of men. She not only suffered from the flow of blood, she suffered from the physicians as well. We also read in verse 26 that she had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. 12 years, and she's growing worse and worse and worse by the day. Things are not getting better. When you're suffering, if you can see that things are getting better, that gives you some hope. But if you're suffering and you're getting worse and worse and worse, eventually hope is gone. And this is the condition of this woman. Luke says in his account, notice if you keep a mark there in Mark chapter 5 and turn to the book of Luke chapter 8 and verse 43, she had spent all her living upon physicians. And then notice what it says. Neither could be healed of any. They could not help her. It doesn't say that they did not try to help her. Perhaps they gave her many remedies. Ma'am, if you just go home and try this, I'm sure it'll work. It'll give you some relief. And she paid them. She'd go home and try remedy after remedy. But it only got worse. It just continually got worse. So her expectations. And don't you think, as she would go from physician to physician, I believe she thought, maybe this is the one. Maybe this is the guy that can help me. I'm going to listen to what he says. Maybe he's the one. But after she tried whatever remedy it was, he's not the one. And her expectations and her hopes were crushed over and over and over and over again. For 12 years. For 12 years, she had the hope of getting better. She had the hope of finding a cure. For 12 years, she had the hope that her life would be put back together. But for 12 years, she lived without remedy to her problem. For 12 years, she was disappointed over and over and over again. On top of all that, on top of all her sorrow, on top of all her anguish, on top of all her heartache and torment and loneliness, we read again in verse 26 that she had spent all that she had. Her health is gone, and now her money is gone. She has tried everything, and she's just getting worse with each passing day. Her life is withering away. And there were those in that crowd that day who also had desperate needs. There were those in that crowd that day who had very, very serious needs. But they were just part of the crowd. But not this woman. She was not just part of the crowd. This woman strives after Christ. She realizes her need. She realizes the seriousness of her need. And she strives after Christ to be blessed. If you and I know today, and we ought to know, that Jesus Christ has what we need, and that Jesus Christ is what we need, then it seems to me if we know that, we're going to strive after Him to be blessed. Notice this striving after Christ in verse 27 of Mark chapter 5. We read when she had heard of Jesus. There came a time when this woman who felt so hopeless, who felt so unworthy and lonely, so isolated and alienated, there came a day that she heard of Jesus. Amen. And this woman with her enormous problem that none of the physicians could fix, this woman with her enormous need that none of the physicians could provide for, this woman who was so burdened, this woman who was so hurting, she heard of Jesus. Don't you think after 12 years this woman was tired of her life? And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people today, they just need to be brought to the point where they're tired of their life. Tired of the way they're living their life. There are many of God's people who need to be brought to the point where they need to be just tired of the way they're living and strive to be blessed. She wanted, there's no doubt in my mind, this woman wanted more than anything to be freed from her condition. And one day, she heard of Jesus. She heard of Jesus. She heard about a man who could liberate her. She heard about a man who could fix the body and fix the mind. And I believe after she heard of Jesus, she began to think, this Jesus, I believe he can cure me. This Jesus, I believe that he can deliver me from this flow of blood. This Jesus can, I believe he can put my life back together. I believe he can make me whole. I believe he can fix me. She heard of Jesus, and now she's beginning to long for Jesus. She's beginning to desire him. Notice what happens next, verse 27. Came. She heard of Jesus and she came. Jesus is on his way to the house of Jairus. The crowd is swarming him. The crowd is pressing up against him. And here she comes. Here comes this woman. She's been plagued and tormented for 12 years. Having heard of Jesus, here she comes. She has suffered for 12 years. And she came to Jesus. She had been under the curse of the law. And she came to Jesus. She was dying. She was getting worse and worse. And she came to Jesus. Here she comes. This woman has tried everything imaginable. But she's heard of Jesus. And she comes. She comes. And she wants so desperately for her life to be put back together. I believe by the time she came, she was as low as she could get. Remembers, her health is gone. She has spent all that she has. She comes with nothing. She has nothing. She has nothing to offer. She's just tired of her life. Tired of the way things are. And she comes. She is now a part of that multitude. But she's not just part of the crowd. She came believing. She came desiring. Notice verse 28. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Now notice how Matthew puts it in Matthew 9. Verse 21. For she said within herself. So she said this to herself. If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. I believe she's saying this to herself to encourage herself. She's got to get her way through that mob of people without them knowing that she's there. She's an outcast. She's got to work her way through that mob of people. And she keeps saying over and over and over in her mind, if I can just touch his clothes, if I can just touch his clothes, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. I'll be made better. My life will change. My life will be put back together. She knew that no one else could help her. I just got to touch his clothes. She knows that she has to get through that mob of people without drawing attention to herself. And may I say that she is determined not to allow the people to keep her from Jesus. Don't allow people. I don't care who it is. Don't allow people to keep you from the Lord. People say, well, my husband, he keeps me from God. That's your fault. My wife, she keeps me from God. The kids, they keep me from God. Brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, I would go there, but they bother me. Only because you let it. Don't let people keep you from the Lord. This woman saw a mob of people. And they were an obstacle. But she knew, I've got to get to Jesus. If I can just touch His clothes. If I can just touch His clothes. I'll be whole. And I believe that she crawled through that multitude of people. And I base that upon Matthew 9, verse 20. She came behind Him and touched the hem of His garment. That's the bottom part of the garment. Luke refers to the hem as the border of His garment there in Luke 8, verse 44. I don't believe that she walked through the crowd and she was pushed up against Him accidentally. I don't believe that. I don't believe that she walking through the crowd and she tripped and fell and accidentally touched the hem of His garment. In my mind, I picture her crawling through that crowd, reaching forth her hand, saying to herself, if I could just touch the hem of His garment, if I could just touch the hem of His garment, I'll be whole. And finally, she got close enough. She got close enough to Jesus that she could reach forth and grab hold. I don't believe she just touched. I believe she grabbed hold of the hem of His garment. And we know this woman, she did not let the people stop her. She did not let her pain stop her. She did not let her affliction stop her. She did not allow her problem to stop her. She did not allow her weakness to stop her. She did not allow her poverty to stop her. She just kept on working her way through that crowd, and eventually she's near enough where she grabs hold. She clutches the hem of His garment. At this time, many in that crowd were bumping up against Jesus. Many in that crowd were touching Jesus Christ. But she wasn't just part of the crowd. She was different. When she touched the border of His garment, it says that Jesus turned and said, "Who touched my clothes? Who touched my clothes?" The disciples responded in Mark 5, verse 31, and His disciples said unto Him, "Lord, you see all these people? Lord, they're all touching. And you ask us, who touched your clothes?" Then notice in Luke's account, Luke 8, verse 46. Luke 8, verse 46. Remember, the disciples have said, "Lord, everyone is touching You. How are we supposed to know?" And Jesus said in verse 46 of Luke chapter 8, and Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched Me."
That is, somebody has touched me in a way that no one else in this crowd has. Somebody has touched me. This woman touched Jesus Christ in a way that no one else had in that crowd. She was not just part of the crowd. She did not merely throng Him. She did not merely press upon Him. She touched Him. Touched the hem of His garment, believing that He was able to set her free. Believing that He was able to change her life. But most are like that multitude. They're in the presence of Christ from time to time, but they never touch Him. They go away unfazed. Many of God's people, they follow Jesus as this multitude without any real soul hunger. They just want to see what's going to happen. But this woman, she came and she was hungry. She realized that she had a need. Many today, they come into contact with Christ without receiving any real benefit at all. They're just part of the crowd. Just part of the crowd. But notice, a miracle took place. After she touched the hem of His garment, we read in verse 29, and straightway, that is immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up. And then I love the next phrase, and she felt. She not only knew, she felt. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Jesus Christ did instantly what 12 years of doctors could not do. Jesus Christ did instantly what 12 years of expense could not do. She is healed. 12 years of anguish gone. 12 years of suffering gone. 12 years of loneliness. 12 years of heartache gone. 12 years of bondage. And she has been set free. She has been released. Notice verse 33. But the woman, fearing Jesus asking the question, who touched me? Remember, she's behind him. She came behind him and touched the border of his garment. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her. Remember, she felt that she'd been healed of the plague. Came, that is, I believe she came around front of Jesus. And she fell down before him and told him all the truth. Told him her whole story. How that for 12 years she had suffered. You know who else was in that crowd? Remember Jairus? He came. They were on their way to his house to heal his daughter. And you'll find out that as you read that his daughter was how old? 12 years old. And I believe Jairus began to think, this woman, her flow of blood started about when my daughter was born. I imagine Jairus, he was in a hurry to get to the house of Christ, to his house. His daughter was dying. And as the crowd grew, and perhaps they began to walk slower, and then as the crowd just came to a stop when this woman came on the scene. And I can imagine Jairus saying, "Oh, great. This is just what I need." But the Lord's interruptions are timely. And Jairus, I believe, his faith was strengthened by this interruption. But that's a completely different message. She was healed. Luke says in Luke 8, verse 47, "She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately." And then Jesus said to her, after she told her story, Jesus said, "Daughter, can you imagine? You imagine the joy she felt when she just heard that word, daughter. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Jesus made a difference in this woman's life. She had a story to tell. And what a story we have to tell when we're not just part of the crowd. There's not much of a story to tell when you're just part of the crowd. But what a story we have to tell when we're not just part of the crowd and when we experience Him personally. Every Sunday you assemble together. Jesus meets with you. You come into His presence. You come into contact with Jesus Christ. Throughout the week, you might touch Christ. You might bump up against Him. But oh, we don't want to just be part of the crowd. We need to realize that we have needs. We have needs that only Jesus can meet. And just like this woman, we need to do everything we can. We need to strive to get so close to Jesus that we can lay hold of His garment and experience the blessing that is in Jesus Christ. I pray today that you would not go from here just part of the crowd. But I pray that you would go from here today having personally experienced Jesus Christ. Do you realize in an assembly like this, the person sitting next to you can just be part of the crowd. And yet you can personally experience Jesus Christ. Don't leave here unfazed. Receive what God has for us in Christ. Strive to get as close as you possibly can. None of us are as close as we should be. None of us are as close as we could be. We need to strive to get so close and believe He can heal me. And I'm not talking about physical, though that's included. Whatever my spiritual needs are, they're in Christ. They're not in men, even the most talented and the most knowledgeable of men. They're in Christ. Strive to be in the presence of Christ every single day of your life. And I'm telling you, it'll make a difference. Because Jesus does make a difference in our lives. Brother Randy.